A big huge thanks to Keith Teklitz for editing this episode.
Are you coming to the tree? They strung up a man, they say, who murdered three. Strange things did happen here, no stranger would it be if we met at midnight in the hanging tree. Are you coming to the tree where dead man called out for his love to flee? Strange things did happen here, no stranger would it be if we met at midnight in the hanging tree. Are you
Hi-de-ho there, neighbor. It's time for another Stream Along the Path episode. We're going to do another Netflix Q type episode. This one we're going to focus on kind of YA movies or YA novel adaptations to movies. And looking over my list here, I didn't watch them all in a row, but over time, I've seen several of these YA movies. So I figured instead of separating them out through talking about the other movies, I'd kind of group them together because they're, by nature, pretty similar type of things. Just different premises, different settings, but a lot of it becomes the same, which you definitely get by watching these movies. So on my list is The Hunger Games: Mockingjay Part 2. So it's the last movie of the Hunger Games series of movies. And it took me quite a while before I saw this one. I went to go see Hunger Games in the theaters. I went to go see Catching Fire in the theaters. And I think, if I'm not mistaken, no, I don't think we went to see Mockingjay in the theater for some reason. We might have seen Part 1 in the theater. But I'm thinking now that I saw both of the Mockingjay movies, Part 1 and 2, on DVD at a later time. But I could have that wrong. But yeah, I did read the book series before I saw the movies. And I'm glad I did, because I may not have enjoyed the first Hunger Games as much if I didn't have the book to go from on that. So let's see. I don't want to spend the whole time talking about Hunger Games, but I might as well go through that series. Yeah, the book, excellent. I really enjoyed reading the book. I remember somebody telling me about the Hunger Games, and it was YA, and I was like, oh yeah, whatever. Then I kept hearing more about it, and then, you know, more people that I actually trusted their opinions on these types of things had told me about the Hunger Games, and wow, it's really cool, and all these things. So I think I borrowed an audiobook from someone that had it on audio, and I listened to the first book, The Hunger Games. And yeah, it does definitely draw you in with this premise of the, you know, this world that has been divided. You know, there was this great war, and the capital nation kind of keeps the rest of the districts, as they call them, under their thumbs by having these Hunger Games every year, where they take two tributes from every community or from every district. And there's 12 districts to start with. And, you know, they're kind of segregated around resources and climates and stuff. So, you know, you have one district that's the coal miner district. You have another district that does all the timber and those types of things. I think District 12, where our protagonist, Katniss Everdeen, is from District 12, and they go and they have their names pulled out. You know, may the odds ever be in your favor. It's you know, built up that, oh, it's such an honor to be a tribute for the Hunger Games and to represent your district. And it's, you know, this very upside down view, you know, obviously from the Capitol's point of view, this is an exciting thing. The these Hunger Games because they're pretty much a consumer culture. And the Hunger Games is one of their chief forms of entertainment. You know, they watch the games on TV, you know, similar to we have reality shows and stuff. So anyway, you know all this stuff. I don't know why I'm giving all these details. But anyway, so we have Katniss Everdeen. Her sister is chosen as tribute, but she volunteers or whatever to go in her place instead of her sister going to the Hunger Games because she knows her sister won't survive. Because these Hunger Games are, you know, all of these younger people, you know, two from every district go in and they fight to the death. And the people that survive the games, you know, it's pretty much the last man or woman standing. And so it's not a simple matter of games. It's life or death out there. So, you know, the first one, we have Katniss and Peeta, who's somebody that she knows from her community, you know, go to the Hunger Games. And it's all about, you know, them. And there's kind of a love triangle there because Peeta loves her. And the other guy played by Liam Hemsworth, Gale, is kind of the person that she's chummed around with and gone hunting with. And he's in love with her as well, but she's not really in love with either or whatever. Kind of goes back and forth. And, you know, the confused, complicated teenage female kind of thing. So anyway, you know this. But anyway, so that sets the stage for the first movie and the first book. And then the second book, because of what happened, and she pretty much defies the Capitol and President Snow and makes it so that both her and Peeta can survive the Hunger Games. And so they devise a way to bring back former champions of the games from each district for this Quarter Quell special edition version of the Hunger Games. And so her and Peeta have to go back to compete in this special Hunger Games. And, you know, it seems like, oh, this is a typical sequel kind of thing. You know, oh, we did the Hunger Games in the first book. Now we're going to do a movie. And now we're going to have a sequel where we go back to the Hunger Games. And it's kind of different rules and different things. And so it's just more of the same but different, you know, kind of like a First Blood Part 2 or Part 2, whatever. So that's the second book, but it really sets up this political uprising against the Capitol. And there's a lot more going on behind the scenes of this Quarter Quell than Katniss knows about. You know, they're pretty much working to take down the Capitol and use this Quarter Quell to do it. And there's lots of people involved, including the people supporting Katniss Everdeen. And then Mockingjay, to finish it off, is all about her becoming a symbol in the war. District 13, who everybody thought was destroyed in the war, had actually just dug in and been living underground for a long time. And they have their own community and their own plans against the Capitol. And now, instead of being, you know, Katniss being this person who's a champion of the Hunger Games and going in there to save her sister and these kinds of things, now she becomes kind of the propaganda against the Capitol. And, you know, it's all done really well. It's very compelling. And in the book, you know, talking about the books, you know, and eventually she realizes, spoilers, if you don't want to know, if you haven't read The Hunger Games or don't remember, she has to figure out who's more evil, President Snow or the leader of District 13, who has her own form of government that, you know, puts her in power. And just because you're replacing somebody who's despicable doesn't mean you're putting somebody in the place that could be worse. And so anyway, you know, there's a shocking ending to Mockingjay. And, you know, just there's dire stakes for everybody involved and all these things. And, you know, it's a very grim look at society. And, you know, there's so much social commentary going on in these books. And so the movies, again, you know, they did a good job at the Hunger Games. Jennifer Lawrence as Katniss did a really good job. And, you know, I thought most of the acting was good. But they did change a few things that made it kind of strange. They had these, like, mutate-type things. I think that's what they called them. You know, that were hunting various contestants in the Hunger Games. And it became a very clear plot point at the end of the book. And the movie kind of didn't deliver on that. And there were other things that were a little bit disappointing about the movie. But all in all, you know, Hunger Games was pretty good. It was a good representation. Of course, the book was better, as in most cases it is. So I liked it quite a bit, but, it, you know, I wasn't overwhelmed by it. I didn't think it was the best thing ever. But then I went to go see Catching Fire. That was quite the step up from The Hunger Games. You know, The Hunger Games was a good movie, but a little underwhelming. Catching Fire, I thought, fired on all cylinders. Get it? Fired on all cylinders. It caught fire on all cylinders. Just was really compelling in its storytelling and building not only what was happening in the Quarter Quell, but, you know, the behind the scenes things that were going on and the reveals that happened. And you can really start to put the pieces together. I just thought it was really compelling. I thought they did a great job of adapting that book. And I wouldn't say that it's better than the book, but my reaction to Catching Fire, the movie, was quite more dramatic than my reaction to the second book in the series, if that makes sense. You know, when I was reading through the books, you know, I was just read The Hunger Games, read Catching Fire. Oh, that was good. That was interesting. And just kept going into Mockingjay to find out what happens with this entire storyline. But the movies, I was, you know, like I said, I'm repeating myself as I always do. But, you know, I was a little underwhelmed with the first movie, and the second movie just kind of blew me away. I thought it was really good. I thought all the acting was really good. The way they put the story together and adapted everything was just amazing. It was a great movie. I loved it. I think my wife enjoyed that one as well. She didn't like the premise of these kids, you know, battling to the death. And she didn't want our kids to read the books. I agreed with her, but I did say, you know, I think they, you know, at some point, you know, maybe not at a young age, but at some point, you know, it would be a good book for them to read for a lot of the, you know, commentaries. And just get them to think about things more than just entertainment, which the books do. But I agreed, you know, they would have to be a certain age or whatever to read the books. But she wasn't really, you know, she didn't want to really go see the movie, but she went because I wanted to go, and she thought it was okay. And I think she did like Catching Fire a little bit better. And then they split the third book into two different movies, Mockingjay Part 1 and Part 2, like I've talked about. It's hard to say whether that was a good decision or not. There was a lot of stuff that happened. It would have been kind of crammed to put it all into one movie, but breaking it into two movies really was kind of a long slog for this. It really did make it too long of an ending because, I don't know, just, you know, when you read the books, the first two books are about the Hunger Games, and then they're bringing more and more of the political stuff in it. And then the last book was a departure. You know, we weren't talking about Hunger Games anymore. It was all about war. It was all about politics. It was all about how to take down President Snow and all the things that President Snow did against District 13 and against Katniss personally. And her, you know, the emotional stakes for Katniss were just so real throughout that whole book series. Breaking that third book into two movies kind of took some of the steam out of that momentum, of narrative momentum that happened with the books. And it just kind of made it, kind of took some of the pressure away and a lot of the buildup. It kind of saps some of your strength, and it just kind of becomes kind of dire to have two movies of all these terrible things, and how much more can Katniss's psyche take and you know, being involved in all this stuff, it becomes a lot more dark and dire. Not that the books weren't dark and dire with what was going on, but to drag that out over two movies just kind of saps your, just kind of brings you down, I guess. And so, you know, we watched part one pretty soon after it had come out. I think we did watch it on a DVD rather than when it came out to theaters. And it kind of, you know, leaves at a cliffhanger where PETA, you know, has been manipulated to kill Katniss, to want to kill her. And then, you know, the fourth movie takes off from there to finish it off. But it took me, like I said, a long time to watch Mockingjay Part 2. I don't know if it was because, you know, I already knew how it was going to end because I read the book. But I think also just, you know, I wasn't looking forward to another 2.5 hours of the same stuff that I had just, you know, had with Part 1. So it's interesting. I think they did a good job with Mockingjay. I mean, they definitely drove home the points, and they did a great job with the acting and setting things up. But it just draws it out that much more. I don't know. That's my take on it, I guess. But overall, very good. I think Jennifer Lawrence was really excellent as Katniss. Gave her more of a human element to her, I guess. Jennifer Lawrence made her seem real. You know, you could feel her emotions and her reactions to things. She's a very good actress in that way. And somebody else could have just phoned it in, kind of thing. And much like Jennifer Lawrence phoned in her Mystique performance in Apocalypse. But anyway, so what other ones are out there? So the other one that comes to mind, the three movies that make up the Divergent series, I guess. Where here you have this other dystopic society where people are segregated into different categories based on, you know, whether they're erudite, that means you're smart. What were the other ones? Dauntless, I think, was the, you know, the tough stunt physical fighter types. Abnegation, is that the other one? And then the political one. Anyway, there's like five different categories, and then when the kids reach a certain age, they have to figure out what society they should go to, and they go through a series of tests, and they're put into a category, and that's the group that they'll be in. And it's, you know, kind of a predetermined type thing. But this one girl, this female protagonist, seems to be what they call divergent, which means she doesn't quite fit into the mold of one of these areas, that she could be good in several of them, like, you know, normal people. Anyway, so her parents are involved, and, you know, I didn't read these books at all. My daughter wanted to watch the movies, and then, you know, once we watched the ones, she wanted to watch the next ones. And so I think we've seen all three of the movies now. They're okay. You know, it's more of the same type of stuff. You know, she fights against the main governmental person, who in the movies is Kate Winslet, who that was a good casting choice there. You know, she makes a good villain. She's a good actress. Definitely much better than the actress that plays the main character. And I can't even tell you who that is. And, you know, there's a band of people that get around her, and there's a love interest for her. I think Thor, not Thor, but Thor is the person who she falls in love with, kind of thing. Yeah, it's okay. It's not the best series. It's kind of lame as far as a premise goes. But it's interesting, some of the things that happen and some of the things that she learns along the way. I thought the third movie in that series, which is, I think, so let me look at this list again. So, the Divergent series, Allegiant. I think that's the third book, third book, third movie. So I think that's the final one. I think that one was the best out of the three movies that we watched. The first one was Divergent. The second one, I can't remember the name of it. And then Allegiant, I think, is the last one. And there was a little bit more interesting things going on with the last book, where she's kind of won against the government, and she's left the area that they're in. But then she learns about the larger world, and she's kind of on her own away from the group of people that kind of rebelled with her. And so that's kind of interesting. But yeah, all in all, if you missed it, oh well, it's not that big a deal. If you missed Hunger Games, I'd say, yeah, you should probably check it out. There's some compelling things going on there, but Divergent, you could skip it. You don't really need to watch it. What's another one here? Well, there's the Maze Runner series. And again, these are all based off books, because if young adults are reading books, you know, there's a lot of the same types of books. You know, my son, my oldest son, he's an avid reader. And so he just goes through these book series and these books, you know, like nothing, like he's mowing grass. And he likes, you know, these types of things. And so there's the Maze Runner series. And the Maze Runner series, you know, it's very similar. These kids are delivered up. They have no really memory of where they came from or what they're doing. And they're put into this maze or this area that they can go into a maze to try to solve it. And it's all just kind of a human experiment, you know, like a big experiment kind of thing. But society has hit this, you know, has had a war or something like that, and there's some pressure to build up these warriors or to test all these young people to see, you know, what they can do. And I don't know, I can't remember the whole premise of everything. So it's kind of a, well, I shouldn't say Lord of the Flies, but, you know, it's just all these kids, you know, from like, I don't know, 12 to 18, 19 or whatever, that are put into this situation, and what are they going to do in the maze? So they live in this, you know, valley or something, and then they can go into the maze. And anybody that goes into the maze, you know, if they don't get out in a certain amount of time, they die. And there's these monsters in there, and you know, how are we going to escape? So the first movie is all about that, and our main character this time is a boy, a kid. You know, he's figuring things out. He does things against their rules. You know, there's rules that have been set up, and he starts challenging that and saying, well, why don't we do this and why don't we do that? And he's very curious and headstrong and, I guess, capable of doing lots of things. And so, you know, he pushes back and goes against kind of the rules that they have. Not only the rules of the people that are sending people into the maze, but against the rules that the people, the, you know, the society in the maze have built up. And, you know, he's trying to beat the maze. And so by the end of the first book, he beats the maze, and they, you know, they get out and they, you know, think they've won everything. They get out of the main context, and then they look outside, and it's like a complete desert out in the middle of nowhere. And, you know, where are they going to go from here? And then these people show up and say, oh, you got to get in here, you're not safe. And they go off, and you're wondering, kind of scratching your head, wondering what's going on with this larger world. You know, they beat the first boss, and now there's another world to figure out. And there's deception and government lies and blah, blah, blah. You know, similar kind of thing that we see in The Hunger Games and Divergent and whatever else. So the second movie in this series is called The Scorch Trials. So they're taken in to this, you know, master government place where they said that they'll be safe, but actually they're not. People are lying to them, and so they escape from this facility and are out in the wide world kind of thing. The people are still coming after him, but there's a lot of dangers out there in the world too. The cool thing about the Scorch Trials is there's these, I can't remember what they call them or why they're out there or were they exposed to radiation or what it is, but they're pretty much zombies, and they don't know anything about what they're getting into. And they get into this building or these caves or something, and there's all these zombies. So it kind of turned, for me, I kind of enjoyed it because it kind of turned into a zombie flick rather than this dystopian YA type thing. So, you know, to be honest with you, I can't even remember what happens at the end of the Scorch Trials or what they're setting up for a third movie. And I don't even know if there's going to be a third movie. Has it come out? I don't know. I haven't heard about it. They're not the greatest, you know, but there's some interesting things. And like my son, who's read the books, he's definitely interested in watching it. So it's cool for them. So a lot of times, you know, I do get enjoyment out of their excitement for something. You know, it was probably that way for my mom in Star Wars or something. You know, the only reason that she liked it or enjoyed it was because of me, because I got such a kick out of it. So then the last one I want to talk about, I guess this is a series too. I don't think there's been a series of movies. I think there is only one movie. It was called The Fifth Wave. This one I kind of actually liked. This was another female protagonist. Her family ends up getting killed or separated. I think she has a younger sister too. But anyway, this is an alien attack type movie. The Fifth Wave is like, you know, they take out all the electricity. That's the first wave. Then they cut off whatever food supply, or I can't remember all the different waves, but the fifth wave is when the aliens actually start attacking and coming down from their spaceship or whatever. Yeah, it's a dad and the protagonist and then her younger sister, I think. Their dad leaves and ends up getting killed, and then her sister ends up getting taken, you know, because, again, there's this government, you know, thing they're trying to protect people from the aliens and get everybody together, but then the aliens have infiltrated the government, and there's aliens that look like regular humans, and you don't know who's human and who's alien, and so there's a lot of distrust with that. You know, it's not Oscar material, but I thought it was a pretty compelling story, The Fifth Wave, and how this girl survives and what she has to do. You know, she does go in and become part of the government program, but realizes something's off. Yeah, there was some pretty interesting things, and she ends up, you know, getting her sister back and making a friend with one of the aliens who looks like a human. You know, he's kind of a love interest thing. You know, it's another dystopian future YA female protagonist story, but this one was a little bit better. It was a little bit different, you know. So you got the Hunger Games is probably the best that I've seen because the source material is so good. And then there's a bunch of copycats. And even though The Fifth Wave is a copycat, it's pretty interesting to watch too, you know, just for fun, just for sitting down to watch something. But you get the gist. I mean, it's all very similar types of stories. Yeah, there's different things going on, but a lot of it's so similar. You get kind of tired of, okay, yep, this one, they're going to realize there's something bigger. And there's some, you know, there's the government isn't telling the truth. And, now it's going to escalate to this point. You know, it's got the similar beats. You know, it's kind of like you get tired of listening to the top 40 hits after a while because it's kind of repetitious. So you start listening to different types of music that isn't determined by the radio station kind of thing. Or do people even listen to radio stations anymore? Or do they just have Spotify or Pandora or their own unique channels on the internet? So anyway, that's kind of my take, I guess, on young adult science fiction fantasy type stories in movie form. If you have opinions, let me know. You can call 77JN2107. You can get on journeyintopodcast@gmail.com. You can get on the forums at journeyinto.freeforums.org. You can look up Journey Into Podcast on Facebook. You can get on Journey Into on Twitter. Let me know what you think or what are some of your favorite or non-favorite YA movies or books. If there's something you think I should check out, you know, anything like that, just let me know. This has been Marshall Latham, strewning along the path We'll do it again sometime. How about that? All right. Talk to you later. Bye-bye. The Journey Into Podcast is produced under Creative Commons Attribution Non-Commercial No Derivatives License.